Welcome to the weekly service message from the Crossbridge Church. Look for us on the web at www.crossbridgeny.org. Join us now as our special guest speaker delivers this week's message.
Brother George, we want you to know that we love you, brother, and your family.
Praise the Lord. You are praise the Lord. Give him a little kiss on the shoulder. Amen. The Iranians, out of respect, because I'm a teacher and I'm older, they give you three kisses and one on the shoulder. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, church. Thank you for the opportunity to share. 26 years ago, I was disoriented as a believer. I was an ordained elder into the Jewish mission, enriching Jews for Christ. And I allow my flesh and certain things to come and take a hold of my heart. And I surrounded my life around me, myself, and I. And my restaurant, my brother is here. So therefore, I was not very committed to God anymore for that which he called me. And God called us, all of us, to do something, you know, and we all to be serving without a question of a doubt. But in here, I heard the message, and I came, and I surrendered. I surrendered on my in the chair that I was sitting down, and I gave my life to the Lord, and I committed my family, my will, my finances, my everything to him. And God has taken me back into Greece, and we have seen thousands of people that have been saved. And we praise the Lord because you have a part in that. You have a part in sending us. You have a part in praying for us. You have a part in giving, and we give God all the glory and praise. It is amazing that every time I come into this auditorium and into these facilities, and I remember that I was ordained and I was commissioned to go. I remember that my children were baptized. You know, this is my family. This is my family church. Not only we have family in New York, my wife is Portuguese, I'm Greek. I was born in Sparta, Greece, but I was raised here in New York. But this is our church family, and we praise the Lord for every one of you. And I pray to God that you will have an absolute commitment to God. Because that's what I did. The moment that I surrendered, I gave my all, and I said, Lord, I surrender my heart to you. I surrender everything. And I also want to commend you because of your giving. We have been, there has a lot of things that are taking place. Greece is financially bankrupt. Greece is facing a humanitarian crisis right now in the worst point of history where they are broke. They have hundreds of thousands or refugees that they have been trapped in into the country. And we are located in the right place at the right time. I never thought I would be experiencing, and this is called a revival, by the way. Dr. John Piper has sent one of his theologians, which is called TLI, Training Leaders International. And he was doing modules of theology with us using the Voice of Truth building. But right now he's writing a book about the invisible revival where hundreds of thousands of people, Muslims, have been saved. More Muslims have been saved in Athens, in that ancient city, than any other place. And the reason is there is not Islamic presence. Yes, there are mosques, but they are storefronts, and they only can do a little bit. We're talking about hundreds of thousands. And these people line up around our church. And they come in, and we tell them we're not some kind of an organization from the government. It's going to be hymns, going to be praises, going to be preaching. And when they hear the gospel, they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Over the past 212 weeks, every week, we have been celebrating God's amazing grace of people getting saved. People come telling me, well, what are you doing? I'm just there. You know, we're just presenting the gospel. It is God bringing them. It is God that is opening their hearts. It's all of God. That's why this revival, this thing that is taking place, it's not to exalt man by any means. We give him all the glory and all the praise and all the honor, and we worship God. Not only they have been getting saved, but we are sending them in Brussels, in Vienna, Austria, in Paris, in Netherlands, in England, in Vancouver, Canada. They're all over the place. And I tell you what, these people have a commitment. We have little children that they have no parents. They lost their parents as they cross over to Greece in the Greek islands by way of water, in those little floats, those little boats. People drown. 10,700 people have drowned in the past 3 years. You know, we have 9, 10, 12-year-old kids. They don't know where their parents is. Everybody, it's a total disillusionment. And in the worst-case scenario, God is working in the hearts, and they come to know the Lord. And what a passion. What a passion to have 3-4 hours of worship service with preaching. And they're sitting there. All the Bibles go like hotcakes. We cannot get enough Bibles in the Iranian language. They go out. It's an amazing. You cannot imagine. Imagine some of these people that were actors. They were kung fu fighters. They were doctors. There were many things. So right now they just have a T-shirt on their back. But you know what? They have Jesus. And they are so happy. And the devotion is unparalleled. My devotion was not that good in New York until I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to give our all to Christ. If you want to see blessings of God, you got to commit your all to God. God has gifted us with gifts, and we've got to be using them for His glory. God wants the best for you and for your life. But you know what happens? We get distracted by the mundane things of the world, and we're chasing rabbits instead of doing the will of God. And then we say, what in the world is going on? When you are in the will of God, He will bless you and grant you favor, and you'll have the joy of the Lord. And we see that firsthand. That is happening with the refugees. They got nothing, absolute nothing. They can't go back into the country. It's going to be slit throats, or they're going to get a jail penalty for the rest of their lives. And their families don't communicate with them. But they got Jesus. And if you have Jesus, you have everything, you see. He is a satisfaction. The world can get no. They can get no satisfaction. And they try, and they try. But in Jesus, they get satisfaction. Praise the Lord. Mick Jagger, he's now 70. To you, and he's still playing. I can get no satisfaction. Absolutely, Mick, you will not get it until you ask Jesus to come into your heart, and He will flood you with the floods of joy, rivers of joy and rivers of peace that come from Jesus Christ. This morning, if you will, I want to talk about being devoted to Christ. And if you turn to Acts 17 for a moment, and we will camp around Acts 17. That's taking place in Greece, by the way. What a joy to walk where the Apostle Paul walked. What a joy to be able to read the manuscript that God gave in that language. It is amazing. I never get over it. I go sometimes and I walk by the Avenue of St. Paul, and I cry, and I cry. It's amazing. And here we have, not only it's taking place in Greece, not only is written in Greek, but it's written by a Greek. I was preaching with a theologian who teaches a big Southern Baptist University down in Dallas, Texas. And he had the ability. He knows Latin. He knows ancient Greek, Aramaic, and Hebrew. So when I was preaching next to him, I figured he'll chew my lunch because I was saying that Dr. Luke is Greek, because I know that he's Greek. A Greek can know a Greek, you see, and he also verified to that fact, and many of the theologians. So we have a Greek who's writing in Greece, in the Greek language, in Acts 17. And number one, in verse 1 and 2, we have the devoted messenger. We have the devoted messenger. Not only the Apostle Paul is the devoted messenger, but every born-again child of God ought to be unashamed being a messenger and a witness for Christ. You see, when we talk about a messenger, and today they're running the marathon run, and marathon is in Greece, by the way, 26.2. When I go into my house by way of a side road, because sometimes we don't want to pay the tolls, and the tolls sometimes devastate you, and especially when we have thousands of people that we need to minister to, and when we come in a particular hill about 500 feet before we turn into our home, I can see the valley, the Lake of Marathon, and I can see the field of Marathon where the Grecians, the Athenians rather, they battled the Persians, 150,000 Persians by King Darius, and there were only 10,000 Athenians, and they thought they were going to get devastated, but to their amazement, they defeated them, and so therefore, there the general Miltiades sent forth the messenger, Pheidippides, to run into Athens. Now, Pheidippides was alert all night long, and he was tired because of the battle. And as he ran through the Pandelic Mountains, and there he comes inside into the city of Athens. Today we have the Hilton Hotel, and we have a statue of about 50 feet made of glass. It looks like flash. And there he was able to reach and shout with all his might, Nenikamen, in the classical Greek, which means we have won, and immediately he died. There we have a messenger that was devoted to the cause, even to the point of death. We have a messenger in the Apostle Paul, who was devoted his whole life until death. When you come into 2 Timothy, you read his last words, and here we have the messenger of God. And the messenger of God, in Acts 17, we read, "Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul, as his manner was, went into them, and 3 Sabbath days risen with them out of the Scriptures." Here we have a devoted messenger of God. He is called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And even though he wants to go all the way to the ends of the world, his heart is melting for his own people. That when we come in Romans, the parenthetical chapters, Romans 9, 10, and 11, he says, "I wish myself a curse," even though it cannot happen by the grace of God. But he was willing to give himself to be lost forever if he can win his whole brethren, the nation of Israel, to the Lord. He is devoted to God until the last dying breath. And that's what we need. We need fired up believers to have that kind of a devotion. He went from Saul to Paul. He went from darkness to light. He went from terrorizing and persecuting the church into passionate, preach the gospel of Christ. And now he's there preaching the gospel. He's totally devoted to them. And the question is, are you devoted? Are you devoted to God? And when we think of devotion, we think like Esther. Here you have a lady that she was going to approach the king's staff, and she knew that if he's upset, she may perish that day. He may call upon her the death penalty, but she was brave enough to stand in the gap for her people. That's devotion. Are you willing to stand in the gap for America? Are you willing to stand in the gap for the people that they are lost on a daily basis? Every day, over 150,000 people that die, and the greatest majority of that, they're going to a place that is called hell, that is a burning and a fire and a darkness forever. Are you willing to stand in the gap? And as I said, if I perish, I perish. I remember Isaiah. He was totally distracted and not devoted to the cause of God. He was a man called by God to be a prophet to the nation of Israel, and yet he allowed the mundane things of the world to come into his life, and his eyes were upon an earthly king, and he was totally consumed by that and deviated from being devoted to God. But when that earthly king died, he lifted up his eyes and he saw the Lord God high and lifted up. "Holy, holy is the Lord." He heard the angels cry, and immediately he fell down and he said, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" Oh, how I wish that in America, all across this great country, that we have over 80 million born again Christians, that they will take that kind of a stand and they will say, "Here I am, Lord. Use me in my family. Use me at the way of work. Use me in my community. Use me in my church. What is the gifts that you have allowed me to have? I want to be totally devoted and consumed by you, Lord. I want to serve you. I want to be in the center of your will." We have the devoted messenger, and number two, we have the divine message. If you look with me again in Acts 17 and in verse 2, we have the divine message. "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days," or 3 weeks, "he risen with them out of the Scriptures." What kind of Scriptures do you think he was reasoning with them? Without a question of a doubt, the Old Testament, because the New Testament is now being written. You see, it's not in files and all wrapped up as we have it in our hands. "And opening and alleging or quoting that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ." The greatest need in our world, the greatest need in America, is without a question of a doubt, salvation. The greatest message that we can give to the lost and dying world, it is the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, unashamedly. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." It is of a vital importance that every born-again child of God that has been washed with the blood of the Lamb and he has been redeemed from the curse of hell and death, that he ought to rise to the occasion and unashamed proclaim the message, the divine message of God. And when we proclaim the divine message of God, guess what? We're going to get divine miracles. Number three, the divine miracle. In Acts 17, we read in verse 4, and some of them believed. Now the question is, who are these some of them that believed? Without a question of a doubt, is those that he reasoned with them out of the scriptures in the synagogue. And what do you think he reasoned with them? One of the biggest things that you get a reason, and we were 9 years in a Jewish ministry, it is in today's world and today's Judaism in U.S. is not the same as it was in the days of Jesus. For this, for in his day, they knew the phrase or the idiom, the Son of God, man, you are, I am George, son of Zeus or Joseph. I am George ben Joseph, which Joseph was a man, I am a man. So they were totally in clarity when Jesus says, I am the Son of God. That means I come from God, I am God. That's why when on his last trial they said, are you, the high priest said, are you Jesus, the Son of the living God, the Messiah? And he said, yes. And they said, blasphemy, because he makes himself equal to God, you see. And that is the big reasoning that we did with the Jewish people and also with the Muslims. That is, in our heritage as Gentiles, with the Greek American, when we think son of, we think of a family. But that meant that Son of God meant that Jesus is God. And many times we use Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 4, which it states, who hath ascended up to heaven or descended? And then we demand an answer. And they say, God. Who hath established the ends of the earth? And they say, God. What is his name and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? You see, God has a son, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the second person of the Trinity. And I can see the Apostle Paul reasoning with them in the synagogue. Don't you know that Isaiah said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. And I can see him opening, alleging, and quoting out of scriptures. Don't you know that Isaiah said, unto us a child is born. And he's not just a child. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be El Gibor, the mighty God. Shar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Av Yav, the everlasting Father. That is Jesus. I can see the Apostle Paul reasoning with them as he's giving out, as a devoted messenger, the divine message of God. I can see him saying what Isaiah was prophesying, that who had believed a report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He had no form of comeliness, and when we shall look upon him, there is no beauty that we should desire of him. Yet he was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And we hid our faces from him, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Because we, all of us, like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned into his own way. But the Lord Yahweh hath laid the iniquity of us all upon him. And my righteous servant will justify many. I can see the Apostle Paul belting out the divine message of God and the gospel of God and saying, don't you know that out of Bethlehem will come the Messiah? Because it means Bethlehem, the house of bread. Didn't Jesus say, I am the bread that cometh from heaven? Isn't that amazing that Jesus is born in the city of David because he's from the lineage of David? Isn't that amazing that in Micah chapter 4 that he was not born in the city but on a hill, and a particular hill that is called in Micah 4 the Tower of the Flock or the Tower of the Sheep? There are many hills in Bethlehem, but he was not born on this hill or on this hill or on this hill, but he was born on the hill of the Tower of the Flock, because those lambs, they were grazing and they were being observed for the Passover kill. Isn't that amazing that the Lamb of God is born there where the lambs are for the Passover? He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I can see him saying to the people, evidence demands a verdict. The prophets have spoken from the Holy Scriptures. What are you going to do? Are you going to embrace? This is Jesus that came down from heaven. Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not, shall not perish, but have eternal life. I can see the Apostle Paul reasoning with the divine message. And there he will say, as David said, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, because he is the way. And kiss the Son means to give your reverence, your absolute trust and surrender. And there, evidence demands a verdict. And when we present the gospel, there the miracles of God come. There is no greater miracle than when God will open the heart of one and lift the eyes of the darkened to see the length and the breadth of God, that He, Jesus, died on the cross and shed His blood to wash us all our sins away, as Isaiah said, come, come, let us reason together. Even though our sins may be red as crimson, I will make them white as snow. This is Jesus Christ, and that's what He was preaching to them. Jesus that came and died for you to rescue you from hell and death and the devil. And now, what are you going to do? Are you going to receive Him or are you going to reject Him? And here we have some of them believed. And though some of them that believe are the Jews from the synagogue, God opened the hearts and they came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And some of them that believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, which means they glued with him as one. And of the devout Greeks, says a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. I guess the women were chief or something, they were chiefs. Be it as it may, the Grecians were the most receptive people in the New Testament era. The Romans persecuted, and the crucified, jailed. The Judaizers persecuted, and they tried to jail and convict people into the Roman hands that they will be jailed or be killed. But the Grecians was the most receptive and open people into the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here we see the miracle. We have a devoted messenger. And when you are devoted to God and you bring the divine message, which is the gospel of God, you will see people get saved. Can you imagine if everyone in here will commit their lives to the Lord today and say, Lord, I want to bring people into the church for them to hear the gospel and be saved. What a difference will it make? What a difference will have in our community? What a difference will have in this local church? What a difference will be all across America if every born-again child of God that were devoted? So we have the devoted message, number one. We have the divine message. We have the divine miracle. And then we have the demonic disturbance and madness in verses that come from 5 to 9. If you look with me in Acts 17 and in verse 5, but the Jews which believed not, probably too religious, moved with envy and took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and a certain brethren into the rulers of the city, crying, these have turned the world upside down and come hither also. Here is an amazing statement made by unbelievers. These people, Paul, Silas, Timothy, Barnabas, Luke, they have turned the world upside down. Can you imagine? There were less manpower in the days of Paul. There was less financial power as Rome ruled with an iron boot. And yet they were able to turn the world in four decades upside down. Today we have more manpower and financial power in America alone, according to Pat Robertson on 700 Club, CBN News, Christian Broadcast News. We have over 80 million born-again Christians, and America is going down the pits. And the reason is, my friends, it is because we have cultivated an idea that we are Christians on Sunday morning and we go about our business all week long. We forgot that we are disciples for Christ. And a disciple means I am determined, I am devoted, I am daring to do the things for God. And God will have the first place in my life. Isn't that what Jesus says? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Didn't Jesus say that? Isn't He talking to believers? He's talking to us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. But we don't have. It's like we fill up a basket and the basket is empty. And we fill this and we make a house and the house rots away. And the car goes bad and we keep on going and going. And we can never really establish an absolute, totally abundant life in our lives because we have not being devoted to God. We need absolute devotion in the last days. You see, without a question of a doubt, our cities in America, they are violent. We see that America is going down, and the world, the Middle East is on fire. The Christians are being persecuted, and this is the hour. This is the hour, not tomorrow, but today, where we should surrender our lives and say, oh God, what will you have me to do? What will you have me to do? And if I perish, I perish. I know people may kill me. We know that we are under the eye while all the blessings are coming and all this revival and all these souls that they come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we shout hallelujah week after week as people getting saved 50 straight months. Don't you think the enemy is watching us? Don't you think we're going to become a target? But you know what? I could care less. I'm going to preach. The line is drawn. I will not sit down. I will not shut up, but I will speak up unashamedly the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and whatever it takes. My life is in his hands. He is my counselor. He is my providence. He is my protection. And I'm going to do everything I can while I can, while it's still day. We need a devotion in believers. We need a devotion. And you know what will happen? You will be filled with such a joy. A joy that many of the superstars that we're watching behind closed doors, they have no joy. I had the privilege to pray, and I will not mention some of their names. Names that they have sold millions of records and said, will you put your hand and pray upon me? My life is completely empty. And we watch and we salivate over them. Jesus is the reason for our being. Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the glorious one. He is the one that fills us with his love and his peace. There is no one else like him. And we are to love him and give our lives and total devotion to our great God who loves us and has not burdened us with great commandments. If you love me, you will obey my word. That's what he said. So we have here religion that erupts. And today you're celebrating, just like we're celebrating the marathon run, that we have a devoted runner, the Apostle Paul, running with the gospel. May you run with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But also we have the persecuted church. And we have been faced persecution many times. I had monks that they gathered around me and they put up their clothes and they began to pound my head. And I had people throw me on the floor. Until I was able to get away, I had the police track me and try to put me in prison. But you know what? No matter how much beating they've done on me, no matter how much they tried to put me in jail, I'm here free, fatter, and more beautiful than ever. Hallelujah. If God calls you and he loves you, he will protect you. And I remember that we had the Golden Dawn because our Islamic ministries, now we have moved. We were next door to the Ku Klux Klan headquarters. And before we left, and God did a miracle, he gave us a building. I thought they were going to kill me. There were 15,000. Not one, not 50. We're talking about 15,000 with torches, chains, and sticks. The police could not contain them. We had these buses and these yellow things that they tried to put near the voice of truth, and they were coming closer and closer. Thank God we had the church from Antioch Baptist, from I think it's up in Kansas City, Pastor Bear. There was a team that came. There was about 15 of them. I said, all of you going outside because they wanted to go back to the hotel. Nobody's going away. And I said, get on the phone, keep calling America, because if they hear you speaking in English, they're not going to cause an international incident. I mean, you know, they're smarter than that. And then we were able to preach the gospel kind of short, feed the people, and get them from a different door to get out. And after we get out, we were able to go around with my wife, and they were chanting, death, death, death to the refugees, kill them all. And the police will just sit and smile because they take money. You know, they get paid 780 euro, per month, and the Golden Dome will give them 2,000. So therefore, they don't care if some heads roll, they're not, after all, they're not citizens, they're just refugees. But God protect us. You know, there is a persecution, and some of the people that we have left to the Lord, they will die if they go back into the country. They will kill them. And yet they are so happy in Jesus. And I pray that that passion and that happiness will fall upon every born-again child of God here in America. They are so happy in the Lord, and we praise God. We praise God. So we have the devoted messenger. We have the divine message. We have the divine miracle. We have the demonic disturbance and madness. And we have a devoted missionary church that began in 3 weeks. Praise the Lord. Well, how do you know that a church began? After all, many believed, right? We read, many believed. 1, 2, or 3, there I'm in your midst, Jesus said. So there were many that believed, Jewish people, and many, many aggressions. And in 1 Thessalonians, if you turn with me, it's of a vital importance. Not only they became believers, they became followers of Paul and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they, as Timothy was sent back, to establish them in the faith. To establish in the faith means, no, you're just born again. I mean, they sit them down and they go through scriptures and they were totally and absolutely grounded in the faith. They knew the word. To me, it is amazing that I hear that many so-called that they are in Baptist churches, they are won by Mormons to the Lord, to their false religion. That should never happen. Because if you're born again, you know the truth, and the truth has set you free. But it's amazing outside John 3:16 that many believers don't know their Bible or to defend their faith. We ought to know the Word of God. And Timothy was sent back to establish them, that they will become devoted, determined, disciplined, daring for the cause of Christ. That's what we need, and that's exactly what happened. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians, as a great devoted church began, and it teaches us some great principles. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, so in verse 7, chapter 1, verse 7, 1 Thessalonians, where it, so you became examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. They were examples. Their life was an example. They were shining Jesus. An example means that not only by word, but by indeed. Not only by word and indeed, but also by walk. The walk, the talk. And they did the walk. When they walked, they knew that they were believers. They knew that they were believers. So therefore, it says in verse 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith in God has spread abroad. Everywhere that we don't need to speak anything. In other words, they did not have internet, they did not have the radio or television, but they were, listen, they were so devoted. These are the people that some believed in Acts 17. It became a mighty church, a mighty movement, that they had an absolute passion and a devotion to Christ to evangelize the whole world. Not only Macedonia, Thessalonica, everywhere the word of God went, because they were passionate, effervescent, and they crystallized the thoughts upon the paramount purpose that Jesus and the name and his grace must spread in every place. That's what they teach us, the passion and devotion to evangelize, but also the passion and the devotion of sacrificial giving. If you turn with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we're going to read verse 1 and 2 and then verse 5. And we're coming to a close. So therefore, not only they teach us a devotion and a passion to evangelize, but also they teach us a passion in giving that others may go, where the word may go in every place and everyone may know that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that is great. And that should be our own desire. Our own desire. We ought to be consumed with that desire. We ought to be burning with that passion. We ought to have 100% absolute devotion to Jesus Christ. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Churches of Macedonia, the church in Thessalonica, the church in Philippi, and the church in Berea. That is Macedonia. So therefore it says, some marvelous grace has fallen upon them that I want to speak about. And you want to know their condition? Certainly, look with me their condition in verse 2. It says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of the joy and deep poverty abounded unto the riches of the liberality. They were giving with joy and so liberally when they were in deep poverty and great affliction. How can you give so liberally when you have nothing? How can you give so graciously when you are in deep poverty and great affliction? the grace of God, my friends. When you're under the grace of God and you're doing the will of God, you're going to get these blessings. But when you're born again child of God and you're not in the will of God, when the will of God operates, the grace of God and the abundance of blessings is here, and you're over here about the mundane things of the world because you are distracted with me, I, and what's going to happen in the future, not trusting the Lord, there is not a pouring of grace. Yes, you have been saved by grace, but the grace is not being poured upon you, the favor and the blessings and the miracles. So these people that were operating, even though they had deep poverty, cash zero, and they had great affliction. I don't know what in the world that is. I don't want it. I have enough affliction. So therefore, but they received some marvelous grace and favor from God that they were able to give so abundantly that Paul says you came again and again and again in Philippians chapter 4 that I bore much fruit to your account because of your giving. And look at what happened in verse 5. This is how they did it. And this they did, the Apostle Paul, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to God. They said, God, I have nothing but poverty. Not only poverty, deep poverty. God, here I am. I have a great affliction, but Lord, I'm giving myself as a vessel to you. Fill me with your grace. Give me an abundance, not for selfish motives, but to expand the gospel of the Lord into all the world. And God did, because they trusted God. They trusted that God is the great shepherd. He will supply your needs. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And Paul says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches of his grace. That's how it happened. We got to operate in his will, under his divine grace, that the favor may be poured upon. But the majority of believers, they give 1 cent to world missions while they spend billions of dollars in America for customs. What is the value of the soul? So therefore, what do they teach us? A devoted messenger, a divine message, a divine miracle, disturbance in Thessalonica, a devoted church was planted, that they had evangelistic passion to go into all the world, and they gave and they gave and they gave out of that which they did not have. Because they believed the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. They believed in Jehovah Jireh, God who will provide all our needs. They believed in that with all their hearts. And they became a church that if you come in Philippi today, you're going to walk and walk and walk around the old cathedral. The building, it's about 3 acres. And when you go to Corinth, you go, and you're done. They had manpower, financial power, and in Corinth they did zero because they were distracted. Lastly, we have the devotion and being distracted. The church in Thessalonica, they were absolutely devoted to God. Devotion stems out of a good relationship with God every day. A fresh surrender every day. Here I am, Lord. Fill me with your spirit. Study the word. Get filled with the word. Go out into the world. They had a good relationship, so therefore, devotion comes out of a good relationship with God. In Corinth, there was no good relationship with God. There was no devotion with God. They were totally disrupted and deviated and following the mundane things of the world, operating, doing nothing, giving nothing, and lost a boat, did not seize the opportunity, and now they're in heaven scratching their heads. We have an opportunity. We must seize it and touch the moment in Jesus' name. What is your devotion to God? If you're devoted to God, well, praise the Lord. If not, why won't you have a sweet surrender today? Say, Lord, I want to devote my all to you, my life, my heart, my everything to you. When you work for a company, basically you have to follow the rules of the company, as the company has a man called a CEO. This is the rules. Not everybody's going about their own way, okay? So, you know, there is a CEO, and there is rules where they can advance their product or whatever they're doing. The church has a man of God, but it seems like everybody goes about their own way instead of surrounding the man of God to feel his heartbeat and walk according to his heartbeat and his vision as one unit. I was born in Sparta. When King Leonidas was surrounded by a unit of 300, and they moved as poetry in motion. When the king, right in the middle, he says, shields up because arrows are coming, shields went up. When they said, shields open, strike, shields open, and they strike. They moved like a metallic box into the voice of their CEO. And in 2.5 days, they were able to paralyze an invasion of 1.5 million as they mounted a mountain of bodies of over 150,000, giving their lives for the cause, that you may have freedom today. It was not just a battle for the kicks. They were fighting for your freedom. The freedom today of democracy was based upon that, as they broke the tyrant's back. And when you go by the place where they died, it says, "O ye passenger, as you go to Sparta, go and declare that we lie dead here for the law of freedom." They didn't go get paid. They went to give their lives that the Western world may have freedom. How much more for the love of God? Because the love of God will touch the untouchable. He will love the unlovable. He will grace the ungraceable. He will teach the unteachable. Are you willing to be more than those 300 heathen men that were willing to die for a cause? Are you willing to stand and be counted and have that kind of a devotion for the love of God, for the law of God, that the people may not perish and go into eternal hell? Will you surround your pastor as one unit and follow his vision and his heartbeat? We cannot be deviating every 3 weeks, somebody goes to another church. We've got to create a unit that it will stay united for the cause of Christ. And that's what we see in America. With every flying bird and every fly, if you say something disturbing, they pick up the bags and no longer in the church. And what has happened? America is going down. This is your church family. God has placed somebody in your midst. Follow that vision and work together as one unit for the cause of Christ. Will you stand? Will you stand? If you haven't, and may the music instruments and come to sing before us, but I'm going to be brief. If you're here with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you do not know Christ, today you can call upon him that he may come into your heart and save you. May you come and talk to one of the elders and the pastor to show you right from the scripture how you can be saved today and that your life may change completely. If you're here and you have absolute devotion, I say to you with all my heart, I love you, praise God. But if you don't, wouldn't you do this? Would you look up to God and say, "Oh God, I give my all to you, everything that I am, everything that I have, and whatever I will be, it is because of you. I devote my life to you, my finances, my family, my will, my emotions, my future, my work, everything to you. Make me and use me as an instrument of your blessings in Jesus' name." In Jesus' name. Today you have heard the Macedonian cry.
Thank you for joining us. Feel free to share this message, but please remember, don't change it and don't charge for it. The Lord's message is for everyone and it should be free.